Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 21 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we have a special high school playoff football preview edition of the podcast this week. In a little while, we'll be talking to Ankeny coach Rick Nelson and one of his players about the Ankeny Valley game coming up on Friday night. But right now, we want to bring in our first guest. He is the co-head coach at Ankeny Centennial. He has helped guide the Jaguars to a 9-0 record and a number one seed in the playoffs. He is Ryan Pizzetti. Ryan, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, it's an exciting week, isn't it?
You know what it really is? The weather's held out, and we've had three good practices up to this point, and well, we're excited for Friday night to get things going in the postseason.
Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. You know, if someone had told you before the year that you guys would have an undefeated regular season and be the number one seed going into the playoffs, would you have believed it?
No. You know what? To be honest, we had some key spots to fill from last year's team. But to be in the position we're in, we're thrilled to death. We're excited. And for the most part, we're pretty healthy going into playoffs.
Well, you guys did lose so much talent from last year's squad, including a couple of guys who are now playing in the Big Ten as true freshmen. You know, is this a case where maybe the sum of the parts on this team is greater than the whole? It just seems like the chemistry on this team is really good.
You know what? We knew we had a good junior class coming in and to blend with a senior class that we had some starters come back. So just the chemistry between the two grades. Very exciting. You just never know going forward how teams are going to gel together, but this team particularly has really made strides throughout the year.
Well, you guys will host Southeast Polk in your playoff opener on Friday, and it's a rematch from a district game in week six when you guys defeated the Rams 31-10. You know, has that made the preparation for this game a little easier?
Oh, you know what? That first game, you know, the score didn't indicate the battle that took place. You know, they took the lead on us. It was 10-10 with about halfway through the third quarter, and then we scored to go up. They did a great job of possessing the ball against us. I believe they had it 12 out of the first 13 minutes. They had a nice game plan going into it. And then any time you're going to beat a team twice, that's a tough chore. Looking at their losses, their combined record of their losses, you know, when you look at Iowa City West and Valley, and you know, they've had a tough year being 4-5, but that does not dictate who they are and how talented they are. We know Friday night's going to be a tough game for us.
Well, yeah, Southeast Polk was just 1-5 after that loss to you guys, you know, but then they got into the playoffs by winning those last three games, and they outscored their opponents by a margin of 181-13, you know, so they seem to have figured things out.
Oh, absolutely. They got nice kids, nice linemen. They played great defense, and since our game, I think they realized that if they did make the playoffs, they'd be playing us, so I think that was an advantage for them if we would obtain that number one seed, and they've taken care of business the last few weeks, and now here we are getting ready to go again.
Well, the Rams certainly boast one of the state's top running backs in Gavin Williams. He's rushed for 931 yards and 9 touchdowns. He ran for 106 yards in that earlier loss to Centennial. You know, he's probably the first guy you have to worry about, right?
Oh, absolutely. He's very talented. He makes people miss. He runs hard. He's very sought after by a lot of the elite programs in college football. Their quarterback is really good too. You know, they do a lot of read game stuff, and he executes it really well. He's very dangerous. I think when you look on film, he's had just as many big plays as Williams has. And then you look up front, they're very big, they're very physical, and we're gonna have our hands full with them.
Well, you talked about how in that first game they had those two long scoring drives, and they took a 10-3 lead in the first half there before your quarterback, Garrett Sieversyke, threw a touchdown on fourth pass to tie it up right before the half. You know, that play kind of turned the game around, didn't it?
You know what? It got us right back in the game. Before that drive, I think we had 9 plays with a minute 30 left in the second quarter. So when he took us over, you know what? We tried to methodically get down the field, and he did, and he made a great play to hit D'Angelo in the end zone for a touchdown to tie it up so we could reset the button and go for the second half.
Well, I know you guys lost defensive end Kyle Gustafson to a season-ending knee injury in that game, you know, but other than losing him, you know, you're pretty healthy going into the playoffs, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. You know what? We had a couple of kids that missed the last three games, and We get Lane Prusiner back and Jaden Cooper back. But, you know, unfortunately, Kyle won't be with us in this playoff run. And he's a great player. We will definitely miss him. But other than that, you know, we've been pretty healthy for the most part throughout the year. And going into playoffs, you need to maintain your health as a team.
Well, and I know Nathan Reinke, he's stepped into that spot where Gustafson was, and you also used Gabe Godwin a lot on passing downs. Those two guys have done a nice job, haven't they?
Yeah, we're trying to find the best football players that we can possibly put on the field, whether they're small, big. You know, we are a very undersized defense, but we do have some quickness. They're tough kids. And going forward, you might see some other guys out there as well.
Well, with this new playoff format that they have this year, you know, you only know who your quarterfinal opponent is going to be because the final four teams are going to be reseeded, you know, once they get to the semifinals. And I know you don't want to look past Southeast Polk, but if you do win, you would then host the winner of Johnston and Cedar Rapids Prairie. You know, do you have any preference as to who your next opponent would be?
You know what? They're both great football teams. You know, we know Johnston a little bit more since they're our neighbor. I know the Cedar Rapids Prairie is very talented. I know they have a running back that's ran for a whole bunch of yards, I believe 1,800. But you know what? We're worried about Southeast Polk. We know that's the first goal, one game at a time. When you get to the playoffs, you can't look ahead. Once you look ahead, you know you're more vulnerable to bow out.
Right, right. Well, because you guys don't know Cedar Rapids Prairie, though, I mean, can you do a few things to try to prepare for them ahead of time, or do you just have to wait until the matchup's set?
Just wait until the matchup's set. We do enjoy playing new teams. I think that each coach would say that. But, you know, one game at a time.
Right, right. When you mentioned that you guys, you know, have played Johnston every year, and I remember you guys played them a couple times in the playoffs. I'm sure you'd like another crack at them, maybe.
Yeah, you know what? They're a good team. Coach Woodley does a great job. You know, we played them a year ago and got beat in the last second. And then the year before that, it seems like every other year they get us and we get them. So when you look ahead a little bit, you know every team's going to be good. You know, when they cut the playoffs from 32 to 16, that first round game, you're not going to get any freebies by any means, and if you don't come ready to play, you'll be one and done. And you know, we really look forward to the opportunity to play Southeast Polk, and then hopefully we are in a position to play Prairie or Johnston.
Well, of course, you guys are the number one seed. I mean, do you feel like that makes you guys the favorite going in, or do you?
No, you know, I don't. You know, I think Dowling's still the favorite. You know, we were fortunate enough to get him in the regular season, but a year ago we were two, and then you face him up in the Uni Dome, and it's a different team. You know, we do feel good about ourselves, but when you look at Valley and you look at Dowling and you look at Southeast Polk and Prairie and Johnston, all these playoff teams, I do think this is one of the years, if you stay healthy and you can get some momentum going, you know, that might be the team. And hopefully, you know, we can get some momentum on Friday night and go forward.
Well, Dowling makes a pretty scary 7 seed, don't they?
They do. They do. And you know what? It's hard to believe that you see Valley Dowling could potentially be a second-round matchup. That's unbelievable.
Well, of course, if you guys are fortunate enough to get to the semifinals, and if Dowling gets there, depending on who comes out, you know, in those other 14 brackets, you know, you could be matched up with Dowling in the semifinals. And
sure,
that'd be quite a game, wouldn't it?
You know what? It's you got to beat the best to get the ultimate prize and one game at a time.
All right, Ryan, well, we're going to cut you loose right now. I know you guys just got done with the practice and you got more work to do, so we'll see you there Friday night.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, well, now we want to bring in our second guest. He is the quarterback for Ankeny Centennial. He's passed for 751 yards and 9 touchdowns this season while throwing just 1 interception. And I think some of his friends call him G-Money, right?
Yeah.
Well, he is Garrett Severside. Garrett, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Well, congratulations on a great season, you know, thus far. Considering, you know, maybe where you guys started the season, are you surprised to be here in the number one seed in this position?
I think we definitely thought we had the potential to, but there's not a lot of people that thought we would be where we are right now.
Well, of course, last year you went 5-0 as a starter for this team, and now you're 9-0 this year. You know, why do you think this team has been so successful with you under center?
It's just come down to our senior leadership of captains. Everyone's kind of bought into our system this year. Everyone wants to be great, and we do try to accomplish that every day.
Well, 5 of your touchdown passes this year have gone to Ben Breeding. He makes a pretty good target out there, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. When you're 6'5 and can run like a deer, it's pretty easy to just throw it up and let him go.
Well, I know you got some other talented receivers. You got a pretty good group there. You can, you know, find other guys as well, can't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dylan's a really good receiver. He's quick, and we also put Rogers out there, a receiver, and Blake Murphy. I've been throwing to him since I was 3 years old, so it's pretty fun.
Well, now you guys get a rematch against Southeast Polk on Friday. And I thought you had one of the biggest plays of the season in that first game when you threw a touchdown pass to D'Angelo on fourth down to tie the game right there before halftime. What do you remember most about that play?
I just remember their defensive end coming off the edge and having there not be very much time left on the clock. I just rolled out and tried to make a play, and I saw Dylan come across the field, so I just threw it to him.
Well, overall, though, in that game, you were just 3 of 7 for 48 yards. You know, does Southeast Polk have one of the better defenses you've seen this year?
Yeah, they're really talented defensively and offensively. They're just a good team overall, so we got to be ready for them.
Well, I know you guys won't overlook them. Obviously, they gave you guys, you know, a huge challenge in that first game. What's going to be the key to beating them again?
Definitely controlling the ball more than we did the first game. I think in the first half, last time we played them, we only had the ball 4 or 5 minutes. So defense will make quick work, hopefully, and offense will get the ball and do what we do.
Well, obviously, the biggest key to your team's offense, you know, this year has been the running game. You know, that's nothing new. Avery Gates has taken over the position that was previously held by his brother, and he's rushed for more than 1,000 yards and 17 touchdowns. He's averaging 14.4 yards per carry. You know, did you think he'd be this good this year?
I thought he'd be great this year, and he's done everything I thought he could possibly do and more. He's just a great athlete to have and does everything right, does it the right way, and that's what we like.
Well, you guys certainly have a lot of options in the backfield there because you've got some other talented backs as well, so it's got to be nice to have, you know, a lot of different options there.
Mm-hmm. Gabe, he's a hard, tough-nosed runner. He puts his head down and goes, and you're not going to get in his way. And Cahill, he's doesn't get the carries that everyone else does, but he's a great player and great teammate and loved having him in the backfield.
Now, do you have much input, you know, on the play-calling aspect of things? Can you suggest certain plays, or can you change the play at the line of scrimmage?
We don't do a lot of that, but if I see something, I can always go to the sideline and have them check on it and go from there.
Maybe you'd want to call, like, a naked bootleg for yourself sometime.
Oh, that'll never happen.
Well, I know your team's ultimate goal is to win the state title, and I don't want to look too far ahead for you guys, but if you would get to the semifinals, you could have a rematch against Dowling. Do you think that would mean more to you guys to have to go through the Maroons to win a state title?
Yeah, we know if you want to win it all, you got to beat the best, and right now Southeast Polk's the best team we're going to play, and we'll just go from there, and hopefully everything will work out.
Well, you're also a member of the basketball team, and I think you guys are supposed to start practice on November 12th, but I imagine you're hoping to start practice a little bit later than that, right?
Hopefully, that's the goal.
Well, what do you think your role is going to be this year on the basketball team?
I'm not sure. I mean, I've been playing point guard my whole life. Maybe we'll move to a two guard and have me and Rogers split time or whatever. Whatever coach wants, I'll do.
Do you think that basketball team has a lot of potential this
year?
Yeah,
we do have a lot of potential. We got some nice guards and posts coming back from last year that were sophomores, and a couple guys will step up this year as seniors and do a great job.
Yeah, it should be a fun season. Well, do you know what your plans are yet for next year? Are you looking to play football somewhere?
I don't really have any plans as of right now. I know I want to get into teaching and coaching, so I could go to a smaller school and maybe play, or perhaps go somewhere bigger and just get into programs there.
Oh, okay. Well, the last thing I wanted to ask you about is a couple of your former teammates, Riley Moss and Jake Pinniger, are going to be playing against each other on Saturday. I'm sure you'll be mm-hmm. watching that game. Who are you going to be rooting for?
I just remember throwing one-on-ones against them as a sophomore, and they'd both get pissed at me for not throwing the post the right way. So it'll just be fun to watch and just see those two guys go out there and compete.
Are you surprised at all by the success that they've had this year?
Not at all. They're both hard workers, and they enjoy what they do. And if you have that and you have those two things, there's not a lot you can't do.
Well, it should be a fun game to watch regardless, huh?
For sure.
All right, Garrett, well, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you.
All right. Well, right now we want to talk to the assistant manager here at Iowa Realty. He's John Knox. John, how you doing?
Great, Dan. Thanks for having me on this afternoon. Really appreciate being here. I thought I'd take a few moments and talk about the Hubble communities that are in Ankeny. Starting off at Prairie Trail, we have both two-story and ranch townhomes up there. Great location, located right across the street from the high school there. They're 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath, finished lower level, 2-car garages, and they're in that 216 to 256 price range. We've got 3 of them ready to go up there right now, move-in condition. Right across the street in Prairie Trail again, we have 4 single-family homes, 4 bedrooms, 3 baths. Once again, finished lower level, 3-car garages, and that price range of $369 to $399. Great location in Ankeny, close to everything. On the corner of Orlabor and Ankeny Boulevard is the community of Siena Hills. We have, once again, both townhomes and single-family homes available there. The townhomes are twin homes. They're connected. Four bedrooms, three baths, finished lower level, three-car garage, and that 283 to 295 price range, there's a two of those ready to move in. And we have single-family homes right across the street. Four ranches move-in condition, and that 300 to 340 price range. So once again, close to everything, close to DMAC and shopping and other amenities. A little bit farther south on 66th Street is Woodland Hills. There's a golf course there. Directly across the street is the community. It's on 212 acres. We have villas, a couple of those ready to go that back to the golf course. And we have seven lovely homes ready to go back to the woods and back to the golf course once again. A lot of views down there, a lot of choices left. Just opening plat 4 and plat 5 and 6 will be opening in the early spring. So come out and see us this weekend. We'll be out there both Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5. And be sure to ask your agents about the Hubble Bucks that are available. Thanks very much, Dan.
You bet. Thanks for coming in. All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Realty Ankeny office here will close in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders and communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. Well, right now we want to bring in our next guest. He is the head coach of the Ankeny football team. He's guided the Hawks to the playoffs for the third time in 4 years. He is Rick Nelson. Rick, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good. It's tough to beat this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun. And fast, the weather's been nice. We haven't had rain.
Yeah, that's a nice change. Well, congratulations on even getting into the playoffs. You know, a month ago, you guys were sitting there at 1-4 after losing to Dowling, and you were ranked like 30-something in the RPI. Did you think at that time, you know, it was even mathematically possible for you guys to get in?
I didn't know the system, so I thought it would probably just be a very long shot, you know, and I didn't know enough about the RPI, so I wasn't sure. And I just saw some of the teams were rated so high, but hadn't played very good teams, and I thought, uh-oh, you know, their record was pretty good, so I thought, well, yeah, we're probably in trouble.
Yeah, of course, this was new to everybody, and I knew your schedule was going to soften up a little bit, but yeah, I thought even if you guys, you know, would finish 5-4, that maybe that wouldn't be good enough to get in. You know, was it hard to keep your guys motivated during that stretch because not knowing whether it'd be good enough to get in?
No, you know, this year's team is, they're just awesome to be around. They're great kids, and, you know, we have a lot of sophomores playing for us, but I think our kids have really bonded. And, you know, even when we were really the one game just got out of hand, the Dowling game. Other than that, I thought our kids had a chance to win the other three games. And we even had some chances against Dowling. You know, we're inside the 15 three times and got no points. Now, you know, the game was 42 to nothing or whatever it ended
up.
But you know, we had some opportunities against Dowling, and so I thought we had a decent team, and our kids just kept showing up. And you know, I've got all of them in early bird weights, and they'd come to weights every morning, and so it they've just been a real fun group to coach.
Well, you guys just steamrolled those last four opponents by a combined score of 202 to 27. You know, what do you think was the key to the turnaround, or was there several things?
Well, we kind of got back into a fullback running game. That helps. And then our kids, you know, we weren't quite playing the caliber of the first, you know, we played the number 1, 2, 5, and I think 8. Finished up in those polls, you know, those are the teams that we lost to. So we just thought if we could get some things going, and defensively our kids really played well. I was really scared of the Sioux City North wide receiver. That kid is lit everybody up, and our kids did a great job on him. I was really happy with that. So you know, I don't know that we did anything. I just think we just tried to run the football a little bit better than we did the first four games. We were not very solid in the run game.
Well, your defense has played pretty well pretty much all year. I know even in that first game against Centennial, you know, you only gave up 6 points until the fourth quarter. So your defense has been pretty salty.
Yeah, they've done a nice job. You know, we switched defenses, and you know, my son Nick's calling the defense now. Ryan Bear was our defensive coordinator, and his son goes to Grimes, and he's actually coaching over there now. So it's kind of a neat deal. He gets to see his son play.
Oh, sure.
So we switched defenses. We went to an odd front. We have a lot of big kids in our school, just unfortunately not too many of them play football. So, you know, we thought, well, let's just go with 3D linemen instead of 4, and it's worked out better for us.
Well, it seems to work for Iowa State.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, another key to your team's success down the stretch was the play of sophomore quarterback Jace Bauer. You know, he took over after your team's season opener, and he's passed for 1,063 yards and 12 touchdowns. He's rushed for 412 yards and 3 more scores. You know, has he developed the way that you had hoped he would?
Yeah. You know, we kind of threw him in the second game of the season. That was the game. I don't know. You know, last weekend, remember how windy it was? Well, that's about how windy it was when we played Johnston, but there was a sideways rain coming. So we had 3 picks that game, and we were inside, I think, the 10 3 times and got no points. Due to turnovers. So he's grown a lot from that game. He's a really neat kid. He's a pretty good size kid. He runs well. And he's a kid that'll works at it and really takes ownership of the position. And you know, we moved Hayes to safety, and Hayes has done a real nice job there.
When you mentioned your talented sophomore class, of course, your leading rusher is Kel Boyd. Your leading receiver is Brody Breck. They're also sophomores. You know, so you must be pretty excited about, you know, the future potential of this program.
Yeah, we have some really good skill kids, and there's some really good skill kids in our freshmen. We're just going to have to develop some linemen. We're really undersized. They're good kids, but, you know, we don't have a lot of big kids on our football team that are underclassmen. So that'll be something that we'll have to work hard at in the offseason to get those kids to put some weight on, some strength. But I think those kids will work at it. They're kids that love football, and that's a big part of it.
Well, now your reward for getting into the playoffs is a huge challenge on Friday night. You guys will be going to Valley. You're going to play the undefeated and second-seeded Tigers. And this is going to be the first matchup between Ankeny and Valley since 2012, but I know the two teams have scrimmaged each other for the last 4 years. So you're pretty familiar with them, aren't you?
Yeah. You know, Gary and I, actually, when he got the job, there was 4 of us that had final interviews at Valley, and I was one of them. I didn't know Gary. I was at Southwest Missouri State, but he got the job at Valley. Because we just had a coaching change, so I thought, well, you know, maybe I don't know if I'll get to stay. So I came and applied and had an interview. And Gary's a great guy. I consider him a dear friend, and he's a really good football coach.
Well, one of the things that has stood out about his teams over the years is that you know, they really don't do anything fancy. So you kind of know what you're going to get with these teams, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like playing the Iowa Hawkeyes. I mean, they're going to line up in this defense, and you know, they're going to get after you. You know, they don't blitz a lot. They don't twist a lot. They just play hard. And offensively, they do a few things, but, you know, they have a really good running back, and they have a couple of enormous linemen.
Oh, they always do.
Yeah. You know, our kids believe, and so we're going to go over there and we'll battle, and we're going to have to play good. We can't have some mishaps to beat them. So we know we're going to have to play good.
Sure. Well, Valley has certainly passed every test. The Tigers defeated Dowling in week 2. Their only close call came in week 4 when they rallied for a 28-27 win at Waukee. So yeah, they just really don't have a lot of weaknesses, do they?
No, that game was kind of fun to watch on film, actually, the Waukee game. Waukee did a great job. They ran their quarterback a lot played pretty good on defense. But then, boy, you know, I mean, I think they converted 2 fourth downs, scored with 18 seconds left, you know, to beat them. So we know what we're up against. We knew we were going to play either Centennial or Valley or Cedar Falls. We knew we were going to get one of those 3. So they're all three good teams.
Oh, for sure. Well, you mentioned the running backs, so they do have two good ones. Trey Fugit and Creighton Mitchell have combined for 1,500 yards and 27 touchdowns. Their quarterback is Bo Lombardi. He's passed for 1,400 yards and 12 touchdowns. So you really can't focus on either stopping the run or the pass, can you?
No, I think the run's going to be the key for us. Both their backs make you a little nervous. We did a nice job in our scrimmage against them, and then they threw a couple screens, and it was like, uh-oh. You know, they got out in space, and they were hard to tackle. So we just know we got to try to keep them, you know, not let them get to that second or third level because we'll have a hard – they're fast too. So,
oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, then defensively, Valley has given up only 50 points all season. You know, what do you think you guys need to do to have some success against that defense?
Well, I think that obviously we're going to have to block. They have two really nice defensive ends, and their number 33, their linebacker, is a real headsy kid. So, you know, we got to try to get Boyd going. And we'll play Ray J some, but he's had his hands full at playing defense. So, but if we can just get through that first level, we'll have a shot. You know, teams that have run the ball on them, you know, did run the quarterback, and a lot of motion and misdirection to just to try to get their eyes, you know, out of whack. So we're going to have to throw the ball. We know we're not just going to sit and pound it at them because their front seven are pretty good.
Oh, sure. Well, at this time of year, it seems like a lot of teams are banged up a little bit. And, of course, you guys have been in playoff mode for the last 4 weeks because you knew every game was a must-win game. But do you feel like you guys are pretty healthy right now?
Yeah. You know, we just – the Fulk kid has pulled his hamstring, and that's the one that hurts us because he was a really good tight end. And we could throw it to him, and so that's hurt. But I guess he's been out now for at least 3 weeks. You know, maybe – yeah, 3 weeks probably. So I don't think he's going to make – he tried to jog some today, and it just doesn't look good.
All right. Well, you mentioned that you guys knew you were going to have to play, you know, either Ankeny Centennial or Valley or Cedar Falls. You know, you guys have already played Dowling. So you probably have a pretty good perspective on this, you know, going into the playoffs, regardless of what the seedings are. You know, who do you feel like, you know, is the favorite going in? Do you feel like it's Centennial since they're the number one seed?
Well, you know, Centennial's so different from all the other teams that we've played or even watched on film. Just their offense is, you know, the more I watch them, you know, in the 4 years, it just, their offense is really tough to defend. There's just so much movement and so much quick speed. And, you know, you think this guy's got it. Well, no, it's this guy's got it. And then all of a sudden you're playing the run and there's a guy wide open, you know, 20 yards behind your guy. So I think Centennial's is hard to beat just because you don't see that offense. And then they're deep. We haven't scored a point on them in 2 years. I hate to say that, but so their defense is playing well too. Just playing these teams, I just think Dowling plays the hardest of any team we've ever played. Just their kids. I don't know if it's their culture, but their kids play so hard. And I've watched them. Their quarterback's getting better. Cedar Falls has a great player. The best kid he's the best kid in the state, the Campbell kid.
Campbell.
Mm-hmm. You know, I guess there's a reason why he's going to Iowa.
Right, exactly.
Those three teams are good. Valley's good. Waukee has some fast kids. I really haven't seen the kids over. I talked to Koltoff, who's at Cedar Falls. He said Bettendorf was good. And then I think Prairie kind of runs an offense like Centennial's. I don't know if it's true, you know, like Centennial's totally, but there is some similarity. So, I don't know. I guess at any time, you know, anybody can beat anybody. You just got to have that right now. I mean, I would have, I guess I'm not a big gambler, but I would have never guessed that Ohio State would have lost to Purdue. I mean, so that's what I tell our kids. I said, you know, hey, everybody's going, oh, my gosh, you're in the worst bracket. You have Valley and you have Dowling. I said, well, why don't we just say, hey, I feel bad for those two teams. So we're trying to get our kids, hey, we believe we can beat these guys. And Friday night we're going to go over and try to do it.
Well, yeah, Dowling's a pretty scary seven seed. I'm sure the teams that they could potentially play down the road aren't real thrilled about maybe having to see them. But But you guys would love another shot then, because that means that you'd beat Valley.
Yeah, that's what we. I said, hey, all we got to do is beat Valley and Dowling, and we're in the dome.
There you go.
That's not that bad. Yeah.
Well, I hope it happens, Rick.
I do too. Thank you.
So good luck on Friday, and we'll talk to you later this weekend.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, now we want to bring in our last guest of the night. He is a 4-year starter for Ankeny, a defensive back. He's also spent some time throughout his career at quarterback, running back, and receiver. So he pretty much does it all, even punts. He's currently ranked second on the team with 41.5 tackles. He is Max Griffin. Max, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, you guys are about 48 hours away from kickoff now. You know, considering where this team was a month ago, are you surprised to be in this position?
I mean, no, not really. I mean, we had some tough games right at the beginning of the start. First five games were pretty tough, minus Roosevelt. And then I think after that, we kind of cooled down and rolled through the last four. So,
well, we were talking to Coach Nelson about this a little bit ago. You know, at one point, you guys were 1-4. You know, he didn't even know if you guys, you know, ran the table on those last four games, if you could get into the playoffs. You know, how were you guys able to stick together and stay the course after that 1-4 start?
Well, we knew we had a good team. We just had to keep doing what we were doing every week in practice and just get after it. And we knew we had a chance at making the playoffs, so that's what we were going for.
Well, you guys clinched the playoff berth with a 42-6 victory on Friday at Sioux City East, and you had a 13-yard fumble return for a touchdown in that game. You know, can you describe what happened on that play?
I saw the quarterback rolling out. They were running an option play, and I was going for the quarterback, saw him pitch the ball, and I tipped it a little bit, and then the ball was on the ground, so I went and got it.
Well, it's the first time you've scored in a while. It had to feel pretty good to get in the end zone, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, before they announced what the playoff pairings were going to be, you know, there was a chance going into Friday night that some people thought maybe there'd be an Ankeny Centennial rematch. You know, were you kind of disappointed that didn't happen?
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. I think us as a team, we wanted Centennial first round. I think that was kind of a goal for us. But, you know, Valley's not bad either. We'll take them.
Well, certainly a huge challenge for you guys. You know, what's going to be the key to stopping their offense?
We just got to stick to our assignments, do what we've been doing all week in practice. You know, watching film, we got to keep after that. And practice has been really good this week. Everybody's been working hard. So if we stick to the game plan, I think we'll be good.
Well, I know you guys have scrimmaged them in each of the last 4 years, so you probably feel like you know them pretty well, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, they're not on a regular season, and we've played every team in the top five, it feels like, except for Valley. But we always scrimmage them, so we know what they do, and they don't change a lot. So I think we're pretty prepared for them.
Well, they certainly have some talented players. You know, they have a quarterback that's passed for over 1,400 yards. They have a couple running backs that have combined for 1,500 yards. So you really can't focus on stopping one or the other, can you?
Yeah, we really just got to stick to our assignments and trust the guys around us to do their job.
Well, there probably aren't too many people, you know, picking you guys to win, going over there. Do you feel like you guys have nothing to lose going into the game?
Yeah, I feel like we're the underdog, and I'm okay with that. I mean, we kind of knew we were going to be the underdog coming in, and I think we're just ready to get after it.
Well, I know you've played through a few injuries during your career, including a dislocated shoulder that you suffered during the opener against Centennial. How's your health right now?
It's pretty good. I've been kind of just easing into it these last four games now that I've been back, and I'm just ready to get after it against Valley. 100%, definitely.
Well, your team has a lot of talented young guys, especially a strong sophomore class. Have you tried to be a leader for those guys to kind of show them, you know, the ropes since you've been in their shoes, you know, before?
Yeah, definitely. I knew what it was like to be the young guy, to look up at the seniors. And, you know, I felt like I really had to set an example of what we needed to do at practice and in the weight room and with film and everything like that. So I've tried to step up as a leader and be that for that sophomore class.
Well, your career obviously is about over, but you got to feel like, you know, maybe the future of this program looks pretty bright with this group.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. I'll definitely be back for some games.
Well, now, do you know what your plans are for next year? Are you looking at some schools and maybe playing football somewhere?
Yeah, I'm looking at North Dakota State a little bit, and then Iowa kind of in there too, along with Iowa State.
Now, because you have played several different positions, you know, throughout your high school career, maybe that gives you some options on where you might play in college. Do you know where you'd focus at in college?
I think the main focus is more of the safety linebacker position, maybe a nickel. I think if I put on some weight, I could do some damage on the defensive side of the ball.
All right, Max. Well, hey, good luck on Friday night. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at Mike Stanbro, that's STANBROUGH, at iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. Next week, we're planning on diving into a couple of more serious topics that I think you'll enjoy. So check it out then.